North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson, Lonesome Jack, here this morning without my usual co-host, Chris Bessler, nor Will Love, but I'm not entirely alone here in the studio. Sansre Mitchell is here. You have a new title, Sansre. I'm sorry. You're the something reporter.
I'm the senior writer.
The senior writer, yes. For the Sandpoint Reader. Mm-hmm. I forgot to write that down. I'm sorry. You are here to discuss the week's news. Mm-hmm. And that is what brings us together here today. Chris is out sick this morning, and so you have me. It is Friday, March 14th. And I will say, you know, that obviously if you were listening to our lead-in program, it's not a quiet news week elsewhere. It's not a quiet news week in Washington, D.C. or in Boise, but up here in North Idaho, it has been a little bit quiet. I will start off with some state news. House Bill 345, the Medicaid reform bill, that's the revised Medicaid reform bill, did pass the Senate along party lines. And now heads to Governor Little's desk for his signature or veto. All legislative District 1 legislators voted in favor of the measure. House Bill 345 was passed pass in a hurry. The rules were suspended in the Senate, and then the vote was read in full, and it passed on the 11th. Here in, speaking of state news and our state legislators, there is a legislative town hall tomorrow, Saturday, at noon at the VFW. That's at the corner of Division and Pine. That's if you're listening here in Sandpoint. Additional town halls with our state legislators are going to be held in Bonners Ferry, and I think there is another one as well. I can't remember the location of that third one, but check your legislator's website or their mailing list or your paper for upcoming events of that nature. Here in Bonner County, how about this? On February 20th, the Panhandle Health District spent its meeting devoted to the topic of informed consent for childhood vaccinations, which drew a crowd of medical professionals and members of the public to the usually sparsely attended meeting, writes Sansre Mitchell in the Sandpoint Reader. The board heard several ideas before deciding to revisit the topic at the Thursday, March 20th meeting. That will be next Thursday, and at that point, it may vote to create a subcommittee to further explore the issue. This is something we mentioned before, I think, on the morning show after that February 20th meeting, but we haven't talked about it in depth. And the next week is the next meeting of the Panhandle Health District Board, and that is next Thursday. We'll talk a little bit more about Sansre Mitchell, about what they're up to over there at the Panhandle Health District. In West Bonner County, the school district will run a two-year levy for $4.7 million, and they devoted their last meeting to determining the language that will appear on ballots this coming May. In our area, drought persists. in spite of the current weather conditions that we have before us, the drought conditions persist in North Idaho, and our snowpack is below normal. It looks like we're in the 70 to 90% of normal range. The weather that we have in our forecast this week, which calls for a good deal of rain or snow pretty much every day, will help that. But as of the end of February, North Idaho is sitting below normal in terms of snowpack and in terms of, I guess, overall, what, moisture conditions. In the city of Sandpoint, at March 5th, the city council met to discuss for their regular business meeting, and the Russell Sports Center was discussed. The presentation by Jason Welker mentions that revenue for the Russell Sports Center is below expectations for this time. That Sports Center just opened past November. Ideas and plans were outlined as far as ways to bring the project into budget. Parking continuing to be a hot topic in town. Avril Hospitality, which is the owner or the developer of the new City Beach Hotel, has lowered their total room count to 130, which is 51 fewer than originally planned. This does mean that it doesn't look like there will be any, if that count is correct, there will be no spillover into City Beach, at least if there's one car per room that should fit into their 145 spot parking garage. Parking, of course, continuing to be a hot topic, and you know, for those of you who care about it, which isn't everybody, but for those of you who care about it, I'm sure we'll be talking more about that in the future. I already mentioned that tomorrow there's a legislative town hall at noon at the VFW at the corner of Division and Pine, but I will also mention, because I didn't, that you can also tune in right here on KRFY or stream it on KRFY.org. I'm heading down there right after this show to get our audio equipment all set up. So we will be broadcasting that event, and you can hear Mark Sauter, our state representative, and Jim Woodward, our state senator, discuss the goings-on in Boise. They'll be giving their updates to the audience in attendance and to our listening audience on the airwaves, and then also taking questions and comments from those in attendance. If you want to ask a question, you do have to attend. We won't be trying to arrange any kind of a phone-in system or anything like that, so you'll have to be there in person to attend or send your question along with a friend who is going to be there. Third member of our delegation, State Representative Cornell Razor, is not going to be in attendance at that town hall. Well, okay. Sansare Mitchell, your beat, well, among your many beats, is the local health district board. And it's been not just an exciting, I guess, month or an interesting month or two, but I think even going back into, you know, last year, shakeups at Panhandle Health District. Mm-hmm. Can you... As I pull up the story that you wrote on February 20th to skim it a little bit, would you like to kind of summarize what's changed at the Panhandle Health District since, I don't know, say a year ago, or you know, what changes have come to the health district, and why are you suddenly focused on this? You've written a couple of articles in the last several editions of the Reader.
Yes, yeah, so the biggest change is that the Panhandle Health District has a relatively new chair of the Board of Health. His name is Dr. Thomas Fletcher, and he is one of our Bonner County representatives on that board. Of course, the board makes up several of our nearby counties. And Fletcher has raised some concerns recently because he is very vocally critical of U.S. health practices, of vaccines to a certain extent. He has clarified that he's not necessarily anti-vax. But when you hear him speak at really any meeting that I've seen him at, I've heard him speak at, I think, 4 or 5 meetings right now. He opens by saying that, you know, the CDC and the World Health Organization are lying to us, that there's a whole bunch of misinformation, that it's coming from the top down, and that people who are leading our health organizations are making us sicker. And he had a good quote, interesting quote, a few meetings ago where he said, how do you know when a politician is lying? Because he opened his mouth. And of course, he is a politician. So that was an interesting statement being made there. But so he's made a lot of waves. He's made a lot of health professionals especially concerned, because they obviously care a great deal about the medical practices in our county, and they want to keep people safe. And they are worried that he might be stirring up a little bit of misinformation. He is not necessarily promoting a lot of misinformation. He's sort of putting out the right keywords that stir everybody up without really going too far himself. So on February 20th, they had a meeting that is just their usual regular board meeting, but he brought forward a motion that was just called informed consent in vaccines. And that obviously got a lot of people scared and ready to go there, because they were worried that either it was going to be like, we're banning vaccines in Bonner County. And then there was also a large faction that was there that was like, yes, let's ban vaccines in Bonner County. So a little bit of tension in that room. He brought this concept forward because he said it's the zeitgeist of the moment in America, or maybe the whole world. And so he did not have a very specific motion at that meeting. He wanted to open it up for discussion. He had some ideas. But really, he said, his opening when he was introducing it, he said, I don't know what the motion is. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what you think. And he clarified before that, before he put that motion on the agenda, that he hadn't talked to really anybody else on the board. Mm-hmm. So this was him kind of winging it, honestly. And eventually the discussion was headed by him and the Panhandle Health District Medical Director, Dr. Duke Johnson, who both, they clarified many, many times, quote, we do not have an agenda. Dr. Johnson kept saying that it is not our intention to induce fear, which was a very kind of sinister way of phrasing that. I don't think that had the that had the impact that he was intending, but we get what he meant. And so they clarified again, you know, we're not anti-vaccine, but they were worried that there's a lot of information about vaccines, specifically negative information about side effects or potential impacts, that is not being relayed, especially to parents when they are having their children vaccinated. And Fletcher was also worried about the vaccination schedule that's been put forward by the CDC that has, you know, however many, I don't even remember how many vaccines are there, upwards of 20.
That could be. Yeah, I can't remember.
Come on, man. You just had a baby.
I know. Yeah, I have a 4-year-old. He's undergoing those. He has been, yes, it's been a busy 4 years of vaccines, but mm-hmm. I haven't been keeping track of exactly how many.
You need a spreadsheet.
Yes, it's quite a few. let's talk about the Panhandle Health district, and I guess what is their authority here? What could they do? The Panhandle Health District is the public health authority. Mm-hmm. Are they the how much authority do they have over the actions of any individual, you know, any individual doctor or organization? What can they mandate of, you know, of say Bonner General Health, probably the biggest mm-hmm. Healthcare employer in our area?
Well, what they were thinking of mandating was basically that all of these doctors that are under their umbrella have to supply additional information packets that the board chooses and votes on and gives to them. And so aside from that, I don't know how much further they could go.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very clear that, well, many of the board members were very clear that this had sort of been sprung on everyone without any input from their medical professionals and anyone that they are representing. And so they were certainly worried about that and worried about attempting to force rules on them without asking, especially pediatricians or people with kids, for their input. So they should be able to enforce that just additional little bit of information. But aside from that, it wouldn't change vaccination practices. We know in, I believe it was Kootenai County, that one of their oversight boards banned the COVID vaccine. And so they are not thinking about doing that. They're not mm-hmm. trying to ban any particular vaccines in our area, though they do have potentially the power to do that.
Hmm. You know, especially, I guess, in the last, 5 years since COVID-19 arrived on the scene, I guess the public health has certainly moved closer to center stage than it has been before.
Mm-hmm.
The Panhandle Health District, how many people are on the board, and how are these board members elected or appointed? Dr. Thomas, I don't need to know exactly how many are on there, but how do you get Dr. Thomas Fletcher onto the board of Panhandle Health District?
So essentially, the board has representatives from each of the counties that it mm-hmm. represents. There's currently 7 representatives. There are 2 from Kootenai and 2 from Bonner County. And they are elected by each county's board of commissioners.
Okay.
And then who controls the overall is basically all of those county commissioners combined. So currently, Commissioner Asia William, Ron Korn, and Brian Domke are their bosses, which... Mm-hmm. Thomas Fletcher likes to say a lot when he shows up at our Bonner County Commissioner meetings.
Does he, he was appointed, and I guess I don't know if he could, I imagine it, if he was going to be fired, that'd probably be a difficult process, more difficult than just appointing him.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't think that there is any talk of that.
I didn't mean to even suggest that as a possibility, but just trying to understand the nature of these, you know, how somebody is arrives or is removed from the Board of Health. The Panhandle Health District, I guess, other than discussing vaccines, mm-hmm. Can you kind of describe to us at all what they do? What is a usual board meeting like, or what's the business of the Panhandle Health District in just normal course of operations?
Well, ordinarily, you can look back at their board meeting agendas on their mm-hmm. website, panhandlehealthdistrict.org, and you can also watch all of the meetings on YouTube. And usually they're about, you know, 15, 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and they get together and say, okay, is there anything that we need to discuss health-wise? They discussed a little bit briefly and definitely more beforehand before last meeting, that is, the current pertussis outbreak in North Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually there's a big oversight for them. Like, they're overseeing a lot, I should say. But they don't have to do very much in those meetings because the system works very well. So that's why this meeting was such an anomaly and why it lasted, you know, an hour or so. And they had to cut people off.
Yeah.
Because there were so many very emotional people talking about either medical health professionals saying, please don't endanger our children, don't stir up fear in childhood vaccines. And then there were many other, one woman called herself a vocal vaccine harm advocate. And so they were talking about a lot of widely debunked claims that vaccines cause autism or cause this and that. And they also brought up several other conspiracy theories like chemtrails and different things like that. So that is something that the health district is apparently going to look into going forward. They can't really do anything about the jet streams being put out above our skies. That's beyond their jurisdiction, but they are looking into sort of monitoring the air and water quality to see if chemtrails are real.
The Panhandle Health District is, I guess, okay, you mentioned the pertussis outbreak, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of looking at statistics, and do they have the authority to kind of, I guess, recommend a course of action to local medical professionals?
Yes, they can advise, and of course they're also taking into account what local medical professionals are saying and trying to, you know, share resources and create a game plan that mm-hmm. encompasses all of the area doctors.
Okay. The next meeting, next Thursday, March 20th, is it's only 6 days away. They said at the previous meeting, this one that we're talking about now in February, that they do plan to revisit the topic next week.
Yes, they will be. I'm sure it'll have the same massive outcome.
Mm-hmm.
They already talked about moving it into a far bigger room because there were people left out in the hallway who couldn't get seats. And they will be discussing whether or not to set up a little advisory board to look into the topic further, because, of course, people were questioning, okay, if we're going to add all of this supplemental information to what the CDC already provides, one, where is this information coming from? What is its agenda, if any? What is the purpose of putting it forward? And then there were several other ideas thrown around. The advisory board was the most popular. Thomas Fletcher, of course, who initially proposed all of this, said, an advisory board is pointless. Let's not do that. We're just kicking the can down the road, because essentially he said this is far too emotional of a topic, and so we are never going to agree on anything, and it's all for naught, which is not really what you want to hear from your medical professionals. And that statement was kind of ignored, honestly. He proposed an alternative where you just say how long the clinical trial lasted for each vaccine. Mm-hmm. And then he said, you know, moms are going to ask, well, is that long enough of a clinical trial? And we tell the doctors, you know, not to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just say, you know, well, this one lasted 4 months and this one lasted 3 days, something like that. Mm-hmm. And again, that idea was kind of tastefully ignored, and everybody just moved on. So it's unclear exactly what the little subcommittee will be doing besides vetting information, and if they agree on any of that information and make a recommendation to have it added to the little pamphlets that parents get.
Okay. That meeting will be at the public health, somewhere in the public health building, but perhaps in a not the usual meeting room. They might find a bigger spot for it. But that's next Thursday, and we'll look forward to hearing, I guess, more about the Panhandle Health District. I know that there was quite a bit of staff turnover, I think, there in the last year. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to? I also think they've been pretty tight-lipped. Those who left, yeah, mm-hmm. Haven't heard anything about what prompted kind of a number of former staff of the Panhandle Health District to leave towards the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there have been a lot of questions. No one has really come forward to speak. We have been pestering them, mm-hmm. But you know, at a certain point, you have to say, okay, that's fine. That's your decision.
Yeah.
But you know, they had such a difficult few years, as we all did under COVID, that honestly, it seems to be the time for mass exodus from the health field, because oh my gosh, they were put through the ringer during the pandemic. But we're not sure for sure why they were leaving.
Yeah. Well, Sansare, to move on now to other topics. I think I mentioned once the microphones were on that it's been very quiet at the in terms of Bonner County business. No meeting this week,
mm-hmm.
and last week was I guess I didn't take out a stopwatch to see how long it lasted, but the meetings have been running smoothly and pretty quickly lately in Bonner County at the Board of Commissioners.
Yes, sometimes quickly. It, you know, they used to be long because they were arguing, and now they're long because they are asking 8 million questions, which I know that the public is very happy about, and they're going through with calculators during the meeting and checking all of the math for everything. So it's running much more smoothly. We still do get those 2-hour meetings, but sometimes we get half an hour meetings, and that is refreshing, I think, to most people who are trying to get to work and watch the meetings at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Anything of particular note on their agenda coming up, or anything in the past? I know we've talked about the what were they calling BC Dirt, BCDRT.
Yes,
we've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything I don't know. Anything on the agenda that you're going to be keeping an eye on in the next? In coming newspapers from the reader?
Well, see, now that is the issue with this show, because they send out the agenda at 9 today.
Ooh.
So okay. I have no idea what's on it at the moment, but we'll still be looking at the BCC Dirt and looking at mostly, they've been highlighting a lot of land use. They've been looking very closely at specific budgets, especially EMS. So it's more of the managerial side and less big decisions right now, but that could change in 30 minutes when I find out.
Yeah. Well, okay, Sansare, anything else you've been writing about that you'd like to talk about on these airwaves before we sign off?
Oh, goodness gracious. No.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there was a fun thing about Irish fairies in this week's paper.
I saw that.
For St. Patrick's Day.
That was nice.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'll still be presenting the scary news like we always do, and then maybe some fun stuff.
Yeah. The tagline is something bluster and some news.
I can't remember what it is. Arts, yes. Entertainment, bluster, and some news.
Yes.
And the some news just keeps taking over.
Yeah, always seems to be those first couple of pages. Okay, well, we are now overdue for Otto's Eclectic Mix, and so we'll get that going. You are listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. Sansare Mitchell is the senior writer for the Sandpoint Reader. On newsstands every Thursday. Let's see. Oh, you wrote a little bit about the Little Live Radio Hour, which this radio station puts on, and you can catch us on Tuesday night right there, just to give a little self-endorsement there, a little plug for this radio station.
With Mobius Riff.
With Mobius Riff. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That'll be a good one. And yeah, that's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, we are broadcasting from the town hall at the VFW with Representative Mark Sauter and State Senator Jim Woodward. They will be there tomorrow at noon. You can come in person. Town hall open to the public. You, of course, no charge for admission or anything like that. You can also listen on KRFY. However you're listening to the radio right now, you can listen then at noon tomorrow. We'll be interrupting our regularly scheduled programming. That's anticipated to go for 1 hour, and I think they're going to stick pretty close to that time because they are trying to hold, I think, three town halls tomorrow, and we're right in the middle of them. We're the second one, so they'll be off to their next one after that. All right. Thank you, Sansere.
Thank you.